TalkZone.com.
A streak of fire, a breath of flame, eluding all who reach and clutch. A gray ghost thrown into the game that rival hands may never touch. A rubber-bounding, blasting soul whose destination is the goal, Red Grange of Illinois by Grantland Rice. For many of us, names like Butkus, Nitschke, and Grange are more than mere players on a field. They represent the history, the glory, and the spirit of a university that has contributed so much to this country and has made our lives rich beyond anything we may offer in return. If Virginia belongs to Jefferson, then surely the land-grant legislation proposed and signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1865 gave birth to his home state university in 1867 and countless other institutions for the people, of the people, and by the people. We are the living legacy of Father Abraham's great institution. Sons and daughters of Illinois, our renaissance, in the words of Ron Gunther, is now. From Chicago, the greatest sports city in America, we are proud to bring you Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Good afternoon, Illini Nation. This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. You can find us at TalkingIllini.com. We're produced by TalkZone.com. And Mr. G, we had a bye week. Did you get plenty of rest? You're all ready for the Big Ten season that kicks off this Saturday for us in Columbus?
I'm not necessarily ready for it. I wish we would have had a better opening of the season. Right now, I'm a little bit pessimistic. By the way, you can reach us at 888-463-6748 or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com.
You know, let this be the last time we talk about the schedule. There's been a lot of talk about it, and I don't know if I've made myself as crystal clear as I've wanted on my opinion. As far as the opponents go, I'm of the philosophy of if you want to be good, you play the good teams. My problem with the schedule is not who the opponents are, but, you know, how the games have been scheduled. And, you know, maybe we should have had ISU before Missouri. I know this is all difficult to do. And, of course, the two games at the end really don't make sense. And the fact that some teams have in the Big Ten, Michigan being one of them, and Indiana, I think, and maybe a couple others have eight home games, and we only have six. So it's, for me, it's not as much the opponent, although that we could run into trouble if we're not playing well, but just kind of, you know, the before and after, when they're scheduled, around the buys and all that kind of thing. And I know it's not an easy thing, but
I think it's all of the above. It's not only the timing of these games, but if you look at when the Fresno and Cincy games were scheduled, they were scheduled late in the year this year. They were not planned far in advance. There was a lack of foresight on the part of the administration, and we missed the boat in terms of scheduling and making sure that this team was going to be bowl eligible this year.
You know, that being said, and then also we got a bad draw as far as the Big Ten schedule goes, but...
Well, that's out of our control.
Right, that's out of our control.
One thing I want to mention before we get into the guts of our program... firstly, Adam Rittenberg will be on in a few moments. Adam is the reigning Big Ten blogster and online columnist for ESPN, the mothership of all networks, and he'll be joining us with insight from all 11 schools. He's a guy who really covers the Big Ten in a regional fashion better than anyone else out there. And then later on in the show, the always wonderful to talk to Kurt Kittner. Kit is a great guy, great Illini, had a wonderful career, does color on the Illini broadcast, and he'll be bringing his insight to the show as well. And then finally, we've got some high school coach that Boz wants to bring on the show. I don't even know his name. What's his name, Boz?
His name is Greg Fuller, not to be mistaken with the freshman that we have from Thornton High School, fullback Greg Fuller.
I thought not to be mistaken with the Fuller brush, but go ahead.
Greg Fuller is the coach of D.C. Woodson High School, and we have three players that have come out of that school, Eddie McGee, Tavon Wilson, and Evan Frierson. And I thought it'd be interesting to have the coach on for a few minutes to tell us about those three players, especially Evan Frierson, who, since we've last been here, we've found out that Martez Wilson is done for the season, and Evan Frierson will supposedly be starting, and I say supposedly because a lot of times things come out of news conferences early in the week from the football offices, and then somehow different things happen towards the end of the week. But on the depth chart, Evan Frierson was behind Martez Wilson. It depends if they're doing, playing a nickel or a dime or conventional or whatever. But Evan figures to see a lot of action, not only this week, but in weeks to come with Martez Wilson.
If you remember correctly, and we can check the archives on this, after the spring game at Oak Park River Forest High School, I came back on the show and I said Evan Frierson looked like a middle linebacker. He actually did nice coverage. Actually, when I say coverage, his ability to get into the gaps in the running game, to me, is far superior to that of Martez Wilson. In the passing game, I think we're going to have to go small. We'll take Frierson out of the game. We'll probably go to 5 DBs or even 6 DBs on some occasions. Frierson will not adequately be able to guard people in pass patterns. But for the run situations, I think Evan Frierson brings a lot to the table and perhaps is a better run stopper than the man he's replacing.
Well, and looking at the schedule in the upcoming weeks, the teams we're playing, run as much or more than they pass, so he figures to get some time. So it'll be interesting to see how Saturday's game develops. We'll get into that a little later also. I have my thoughts and feelings on it. I'm sure you do too. But thinking about the linebacking corpse now, you're going to have...
It's core. The P is silent, Boss.
Okay.
A corpse is a body that, like habeas corpus, okay?
All right, well, by the end of Saturday, it might just be that laying all over the field. Hopefully not, but, I don't have such great feelings about it.
Yeah.
Now I lost my train of thought.
It's not hard. It's a very short train, by
the
way.
Now we're going to have Ian Thomas, Ellington and Frierson are our top three backers, and they're basically first-year guys, although Thomas has been in the system a couple more years. Now we're going to see if, our great recruiting and depth and all this, it might take some time, but we're going to see how well these recruits really are and how well they're coached up the remaining of the season. And, this could be a year where we'll be happy to get a little over 500, get a little bowl, but then maybe next year and the year after we'll be real good. I don't know. We were supposed to be good this year. People said we were going to be down, or we were supposed to be good last year. People said we were going to be down the Rose Bowl year. We're a year ahead, all that kind of thing. We still got a lot of young, inexperienced players going to be on the field.
You have to play the games and you have to prove yourself every Saturday. And right now, over the last 1 year and 2 games, we have not done a very good job on the field, and we have a lot to prove. But speaking of having a lot to prove, typically my blog is already in place. Today it is not, as if some of you have noticed, if you go on to talkingillini.com. I'm actually doing a more involved analysis, and since we had a bye week, I didn't think it was so pressing to have the blog in place. What I'm going to do is my Illini Manifesto. For those of you who are students of history, you'll know that the Communist Manifesto, probably the second most important political doctrine in history, was authored by Karl Marx and Engels. And your host, Mr. G, here, will be authoring my own Illini Manifesto. And I'm really going to take it back to 1967 and the slush fund. And I'm going to talk about the forces that have conspired against we, the Illini proletariat, over that 42-year period to keep us down. And as I say this, I'm struck by the synergy and the symmetry of what's going on with two of our ex-coaches or our current coaches and these nemesis in two different sports, one being football and Florida, where Urban Meyer continues to taunt Ron Zook, where Jeremy Foley, the AD there, continues to say nasty things about Zook.
This week also?
Nothing this week, but it's just kind of frustrating and galling that, one, Zook doesn't get any credit for what he did for that program, and two, he's beaten down, and three, and lastly, they have won a national championship, two national championships, and maybe are in line to win a third. If you look at basketball and our coaching change there, you have the same sort of Machiavellian character in Bill Self, who has scorned our Fighting Illini, left for greener pastures, maybe not the same situation, maybe that in reverse, but he continues to torment Illini Nation with his national championship and his number one ranking of the Kansas Jayhawks.
How's he tormenting us?
Well, you know what, it rubs it in our faces. He always takes credit for Darren Williams. He talks about the kids he left behind and how he could have won a national championship with them, and then he goes out and does win a national championship with Kansas and has reloaded and is really on the cusp of perhaps winning another national championship this year.
All right, well, you know, we'll see. We'll play. I you know, how do you spell Machiavellian?
Machiavellian. I can spell it, but I'd have to write it
888-463-6748 is our number. You could give us a call or email at talkingillini@yahoo.com. We've already got a couple emails specifically for Kurt. It'll be coming on about 5 o'clock or so. Got another couple emails, reaction from our last week's show that we'll get into a little later.
By the way, Machiavelli was a Italian foreign minister who was very shrewd and duplicitous. And he was able to trick other countries into doing things that they weren't intending on doing, and it turned into an adjective to describe somebody who was duplicitous and cunning and capable of talking people into things they didn't want to do.
It sounds like if I mentioned that in an Italian restaurant, they would ask me if I want white sauce or red sauce. I'm looking at a preseason publication that I like to read that gives me an idea and an overview of all the ball clubs. And, you know, it's still hard to judge because a lot of these teams, they're just playing cupcakes left and right. They're playing at home, you know, for 3-4 weeks in a row. But this publication is interesting because as part of the article and summation on each team, they have opposing coaches in the conference make some comments about them. So as we get you know, closer to breaking here and bringing on Adam, and we'll get into all the teams, Mr. G, I just want to read this first sentence on our team. They don't tell you who the coaches are, but, you know, one or more coaches in our conference says about us that there's no doubt the Illini are as a talented team as there is in the conference. And as I looked around and watched a lot of football over the weekend, and I looked at the Big Ten schedule and tried to do my predictions, which I know you're going to ask me for later, and believe it or not, I spent enough time on it this year to where the math works and the numbers come out. You know, there aren't a lot of teams, and you just mentioned Florida and football. You know, a lot of people were expecting them to blow Tennessee away, and Tennessee gave them a game. So there's a lot of parity going around, and, you know, if you go on the premise that the talent is close to equal, you know, then it comes down to coaching, you know, both preparation and game day coaching. And, you know, that could tell the difference between a win or a loss here and there, which makes the difference between a no bowl game and a bowl game, and, or an upper level bowl game as compared to a mid-bowl game. So it'll be interesting to see what develops. In general, my feeling about this weekend, I'll get us going with this, and we'll get into our predictions later. But unfortunately, I don't see us winning this game on Saturday. mainly probably because I'm traveling to Columbus, and usually when I travel to a fairly big game like that, you know, we come out on the short stick. In fact, when I got into my office this morning, my tickets were sitting on my desk from my buddy who sent them out of Cincinnati, and they came out of the Ohio State Athletic Department. They were supposed to be as a favor to him. I don't know that the athletic department knew they were coming to an Illinois person, but I'm like, I believe 10 rows behind the Ohio State bench. But
are you going to be wearing a multicolored wig with
I caught my buddy
323 on your shirt?
I'm not going to be wearing that, but I called my buddy to see how safe it was to wear my Illini gear, not that I'm afraid of Ohio State people, but I didn't want to get, you know, him in trouble with his contact that, you know, all of a sudden he's seeing four or five Illinois guys in
the seats. All right, Boz, I'm going to cut you off now because Dave is frantically waving on the other side of the glass. He's kind of like the robot in Lost in Space.
Okay.
All right, you can call us at 888-463-6748. Again, that's 888-463-6748, or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. We'll be back after this brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, Illini fans. Looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find the location nearest you.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
The talk of planet Earth.
We call it
TalkZone.com. Internet talk radio.
And we know you're going to love it.
TalkZone.com.
Here is the play action to Dufresne. McGee's going to throw it. Got a man wide open. Duvall. Touchdown, Illinois. In the middle of the field. Nobody within 10 yards of Duvall.
You're talking Illini on TalkZone. Now back to Boz and Mr. G.
First of all, a little bit of a mea culpa here. Machiavelli served the Italian government in the 16th century and not the 18th century. So I'd like to correct myself on that score. Boz, why don't you bring in our next guest who's on the phone waiting for us right now.
Our next guest, our first guest of the day, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com, used to write, I believe, for the Daily Herald in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, and we've got Adam on because he covers the entire Big Ten, and we're going to go down each team and see, get his expertise on how the conference is going to shake out. Adam, how are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
So, Adam, give us your 30-second bio. Where are you from? Where'd you go to school, and how did you get here?
Well, you guys are right. I was at the Daily Herald for a number of years, covered college sports primarily, Northwestern, Notre Dame, a little bit of Illinois, DePaul basketball, and that's kind of where I got my start. Originally from California, so Pac-10 guy originally, but definitely have grown accustomed to covering the Big Ten now.
And where'd you do your undergrad?
I did go to Northwestern, full disclosure, but I hope it doesn't affect my coverage. I don't think it has so far.
I don't think so either. So before the season started, Adam, what was your prediction for Illinois this year?
You know, I really bought into Illinois after seeing them in training camp, guys. I obviously loved what they had coming back at wide receiver. And from talking to Tez Wilson, I really thought he'd kind of changed and turned a corner and was going to have a real big season. Was very sorry to hear about his injury last week. So I really thought they had it going on offense. I didn't see a Big Ten team, honestly, that was as complete on the offensive side as Illinois. And that's why I was so surprised, as most of you guys were, I'm sure, with how they played against Missouri. Just a real collapse in all phases. You know, obviously not having Aurelius hurt, but it's just not the way you want to start a season. So I did have them in my top five, but I also had Michigan State in my top five, and neither of those teams are looking too good right now.
And if you had to rank them right now, where would Illinois be?
Well, we just don't know that much. I mean, they haven't had a full game together as an offense, but you know, they're certainly not in the top five or six teams in the league. I mean, you know, that really after, in my opinion, after four, I think you got, you know, Penn State at one, Ohio State two, you know, Michigan, Iowa, you know, in the 3-4 range. After that, it gets pretty murky. I mean, Wisconsin, we really don't know what they have. And then there's been a bunch of teams that have been up and down. So they're somewhere in that, you know, 5-9 range.
Adam, you mentioned the Missouri game. As you were watching that, did you think it was lack of execution that hurt the Illini, or play calling, or what surprised you most about that disappointing game?
I think what surprised me most is that I thought they had more depth at wide receiver than they showed, and I think they might still have more depth than they kind of showed in that game. I really thought there was a lack of execution when Regis Ben went out. It was almost like, you know, how are we going to overcome this? Even though they have a ton of talent still, you know, obviously the running situation wasn't ideal with Ford and Dufresne out as well. I just sensed a panic that it shouldn't be there for a team that has kind of been through the fire. You have the most experienced quarterback in the Big Ten. You have a lot of guys that are, you know, had some role on the Rose Bowl team. And it just was surprising to see everything kind of melt down.
Everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yep.
And I think for Juice, losing his security blanket, the guy who had really co-authored this offense with him and his co-leader on this team in the first minute of the game, was a really shocking blow that I don't think he recovered from. I really think the Juice will go on and have a reasonably good year at quarterback, and that the offense will be fine. My concerns, and they were even concerns as I watched the Illinois State game, was that guys were running free in the secondary, and guys didn't have a good idea of what their assignments were, and people were open all over the field.
Right, and I really thought they had a drop off in the secondary last year after losing the two veteran safeties from the Rose Bowl team, and then you lose Vontae Davis, you know, one of the best cover corners in the country. So there was going to be a drop off there, but yeah, you bring up a good point. I don't think they've been right at the safety position really for a year, you know, really 2 years now since the Rose Bowl. So that's certainly an area that they need to get you know, fixed in a hurry. I mean, maybe not this week, because Ohio State doesn't have a huge passing attack, but certainly with Penn State and some of the better quarterbacks in the league coming to Illinois in the next coming weeks, they got to get that area fixed.
Needless to say, we're off to a slow start, and we have a tough opening schedule with the conference with Ohio State and Penn State. But do you think this team can, you know, get it going and get into a decent bowl from what you've seen so far and what you're hearing on the inside?
Well, they can't lose their next three games, guys. I think if they lose their next three games, it's going to be hard to recover, because this team hasn't shown a great ability to respond really last year and so far this year. So they need to get one of these next three, whether it's Ohio State, which would be a huge win in a place that they've historically had a lot of success recently in the last 10 or 20 years, or it's beating Penn State, a team that will be playing its first road game and doesn't really have a great secondary, a unit that Illinois could certainly exploit with Regis and those guys, or whether it's Michigan State, you know, coming to Illinois, a team that might be completely fractured by that time because they got Wisconsin on the road and then Michigan. They cannot go 0-3 because they still got to go to Cincinnati, a team that right now looks a lot better than them.
Yeah, I'm not still...
That's probably a loss. So, you know, you're counting up the losses. It's like decent bowl game. I mean, that, you know, you're already at 5 right there. So they cannot lose these next three. They got to get at least one.
Yeah, and I'm not convinced that Penn State is all that it's cracked up to be at this point. I have not seen anything out there from Penn State that leads me to believe that they're a national contender and worthy of their press clippings.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of these things that it's just hard to tell when a team doesn't play anyone. I mean, Joe Paterno was saying today that, you know, in hindsight, he wished they had been a little bit tested in these first three games before they play a pretty decent Iowa team this week. It's just hard to tell how a team is going to respond when you do get faced with adversity. Maybe Illinois getting it right off the bat will serve as a blessing for them in the long run, because they can win all three of these games. They've obviously had success in Columbus with Juice Williams. I think they match up pretty well with Penn State, and then Michigan State, like I said, could just be a meltdown waiting to happen when they come to Champaign in 3 weeks. So these are all three games they can win, but they can't lose them all.
You're not just saying that because this is an Illini show, are you?
No, I mean, they can't guys, but, you know, honestly, I get a little ticked off when I see these teams, and Illinois has kind of been this team lately that just doesn't maximize its talent. I mean, last year was a huge disappointment, and if you look at the history of this program, it's you know, BCS and then 5-7. You can't build any continuity that way, and you know, I mean, they need to get back to a bowl this year. It would be a major disappointment.
Is this,
you know, with Juice Williams to make one bowl in 4 years?
Is this a coach you have confidence in?
He obviously needs to prove himself more in games. I mean, he's obviously upgraded the recruiting significantly at Illinois, gotten a lot of players to come to Illinois that probably wouldn't have considered the program before. But there, you know, listen, there is a track record developing now. He goes to Florida. He brings in great players. He leaves. They win a couple national championships. You know, now a big spike in year two with some of his recruits, but also a lot of the older players from Turner's era. And then now they're struggling again. So it's a big year. It's a big year for him and for these players, because they could be, you know, losing some significant pieces next year. Obviously, Juice, potentially Aurelius Ben as well.
If you were to take Zook out of the equation, rank the Big Ten coaches for us. From worst to best?
That's a tough question, guys. I mean, there's so many variables here. I know that Kirk Ferentz gets a lot of flack for his salary, but I think he gets a lot out of his talent. I think he's certainly up there at the top. I think Rich Rodriguez, everybody was criticizing him for, you know, some of the off-field things and whatever, but people forget that this guy can coach football pretty well. I think he's certainly up there. As well, Jim Tressel's record is speaks for itself. You know, obviously, Jopa has been an incredible coach, historically one of the greats. I always have a tough time with Joe because I don't think I think he's not as involved as he was certainly 10 or 15 years ago. I think Mark D'Antonio is a tremendous coach at Michigan State. I think he's got them on the right track. Pat Fitzgerald, I think, is an exciting young coach at Northwestern. You know, certainly some of the guys that still need to prove themselves, you know, Zook, Bill Lynch, you know, Tim Brewster at Minnesota. We still don't know so much about those guys yet. And I think it's a big year for Brett Bielema. He's had the win total drop the last few years. So it's obviously a year they don't want to have that take another step down.
Here's the rumblings I'm hearing. I'm hearing that Wisconsin alums are very upset with Bielema, and that Bielema is very much on the hot seat. And I'm still hearing that Michigan alums and people very high up in the administration are not convinced they made the right hire with Rodriguez as well.
Yeah, but I mean, Michigan's going to be 4-0, and they're going to have a significant improvement upon last season. I don't think there's any way you see Rich Rodriguez going anywhere. Wisconsin's a different situation. I think that the schedule really helps out Bielema this year. They really could be a 5 or 6 win team that wins maybe even 9 games, just because of how favorable their overall schedule is. And the biggest thing going for Bielema is his boss. I mean, you know, Barry Alvarez is Wisconsin football, and he hired Bielema as his handpicked successor. So if he doesn't want to fire him, I don't think there's enough outside pressure there, as there is at a lot of programs, to make a change. So I think as long as Barry has a belief in Bielema, he's going to be okay.
Mr. G indicated earlier he wasn't as high on Penn State, and frankly, I'm not as high on Ohio State. And those are, you know, everyone would say those are the top two teams in the conference. And, you know, looking around the country, I'm thinking, you know, here we go again. The Big Ten, you know, when I watch different conferences and different teams, it just has a different feel to it. What, you know, what is your take on that?
Well, I mean, certainly there's been the Big Ten's had its issues in bowl games recently, and in some of the big non-conference games. I think the feel thing you're probably looking towards is maybe when you watch the Big 12. It's obviously better offenses, more scoring, but, you know, potentially a lot less defense. But it's certainly a different game. And in the SEC, you know, there is a speed differential, I think, overall. I don't think it's as blown up as a lot of people try to make it sound. But certainly the Big Ten needs to step up in some of these big games in the bowl games. It wasn't a great non-conference season again to the Big Ten, losing games like USC and Illinois, losing to Missouri, those type of games. But there's still an opportunity out there if potentially some of the bowl matchups work out right for the Big Ten to kind of start building back the reputation, because right now it's not very good.
And have you ever done a statistical comparison where you've seen how many players from the Big Ten are in the NFL, how many in the SEC, how many in the Big 12, and so on?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there have been those that have done. Actually, the real surprising one to me is that the ACC produces a ton of NFL players. And I actually watch their games. You know, Thursday night's kind of the one time of the week I can watch a football game without working. And I watch a lot of the ACC, and there's a lot of talent there. And I just wonder how the conference itself hasn't kind of elevated its profile. But the Big Ten still produces a ton of NFL guys. I mean, this last draft, obviously no top 10 picks, which was the first time in a while, but there's a lot of Big Ten players out there. You just look at the Steelers and some of the other teams, and they've got guys who played in the Big Ten.
Is it conceivable that Illinois may not be favored in another game this year?
Well, it obviously depends on the next few games, how they perform. I think they still got Indiana. We'll see how Minnesota does. We'll see if Northwestern falls apart. So there's certainly some games out there that I think they'll be favored in. But they just can't. They got to keep it together and win at least one of these games.
All right. So the question is, if they lose the next three games to OSU, Penn State, and Michigan State,
they might be underdogs in every game.
They may be a dog to Indiana, a dog at Purdue. Those are both away games. A dog certainly at home to Michigan, a dog perhaps at Minnesota.
They're not going to lose all three games. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay, so who are they going to beat?
They're going to beat Michigan State at home, and with a little luck, they're going to win one out of the other two, and we're going to have a good season. Right, Adam?
I think they've got a definite shot. It's funny because they've had so much success in Columbus, but I don't think this is a great matchup for them. I think they have much better chances to win those two home games, just because they match up better with Penn State, because they can attack a secondary that's been very improven at this point. And Michigan State, I think, is a game where they're...
Boz's question sounded more like a plea than a question.
No, I agree with you. I hemmed and hawed on this all weekend long, and I've got us losing Saturday, but hoping we're much improved, very competitive, so that we come back the following week feeling good about ourselves, where we could then upset Penn State, and that'll turn us around. We'll be able to beat Michigan State at home. Then we should go to both Indiana and Purdue and win there. And then the Michigan game becomes huge. And I hemmed and hawed over that one, and we'll just wait till we get there. But I'm wondering, Adam, I mean, you seem to be high on Michigan. You got them up there third or fourth, and with us and Michigan State and Minnesota, Northwestern and Wisconsin all bunched below them. I'm not quite sold on them yet. Their schedule is unbelievably easy, but I'm looking at the conference schedule and I got them maybe with a little negative bias, 500 at best in the conference.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's basically saying they're going to go in the tank. I don't see that happening. I think, the schedule, like you said, is pretty easy. I don't think that they're a Big Ten title contender at this point. I think in the end, it's probably going to be Penn State and Ohio State with that game on November 7th, deciding the Big Ten title. Maybe Iowa sneaks in there as well. But Michigan is much improved, and they're a lot faster. They have a lot of weapons on offense, and they get it now, which is just a completely different situation than last year. They definitely have their flaws on defense. They're not very big. They're not very deep. They're pretty young. So that's an area I think some teams are going to be able to exploit. But there's just not a lot of great offenses.
Adam, where have they upgraded, other than quarterback in terms of foot speed, where have they upgraded their foot speed? What receiver on Michigan scares the bejesus out of you?
Well, the receivers, it's an interesting group. I think they got a couple kids back from last year that didn't play. Junior Hemingway had a huge game in the first game. Savoy had a big game against Notre Dame, caught the winning touchdown. Greg Matthews is making more plays. They just have more guys now. Last year they had nobody. And at running back, they might have the deepest core running backs in the Big Ten. I mean, Brandon Miner hasn't been healthy all season. He was their best guy. And Carlos Brown has had two huge games. So I wouldn't worry about the running back position. Wide receiver, I'll give you that. They're a little bit unproven. But the bottom line is, in Rich Rodriguez's offense, it's the quarterback position. And they had two guys who were completely the wrong fits for that system last year. And that's why they were such a disaster.
And I'm still not sold on the two young quarterbacks. I think that they're, once they get into the Big Ten season, you'll see them making as many mistakes as anybody. You'll see them losing games they shouldn't lose because of the quarterback position. And I think it's inevitable that that's going to happen with untested freshmen.
But again, I mean, freshmen are also more. It's more common you're seeing freshmen be the quarterbacks and actually step up. So I agree. They haven't gone on the road yet. They have two very tough road games after this week at Michigan State and Iowa. And I think we'll see how they do. Illinois won't be an easy game for them either. So I think we'll learn a lot about Michigan. But to say that they're not a significantly better team than last year, I mean they are much much better.
I didn't say they're not significantly better. It just makes them the tallest dwarf. Last year was the worst team in Michigan history. I mean to say that they're better than the worst team in Michigan history, or even significantly better, it doesn't mean that they're going to win the conference. I think that they're probably a 5-3 Big Ten team.
Right, 5-3, and then they'll win, but they'll win the non-conference games, and that puts them at 9 wins. I mean,
right.
You're saying 6-6.
Yeah, the Notre Dame win was big for them because the rest of the
Boz was saying 6-6. I don't think they'll be 6-6. I just think they'll be a bad 9-3 team, much like we were when we went to the Rose Bowl.
Well, I got them losing at Michigan State, Iowa, Penn State, losing to Ohio State, and possibly to us. So there. Let's move on to some other teams, though. I'm curious, Minnesota, I thought, I don't know if you saw the Cal game Saturday, but...
I was actually there. I was there.
Oh, okay. That must have been a fun time, the opening of the new stadium, and well, I guess they opened the week before, but, I thought Cal was going to blow them out, and they hung with them up until the fourth quarter, and I think Weber and Decker are the best 1-2 punch in the conference.
What's Decker's status, by the way?
Decker is going to play this week. He ran Sunday, and he's supposed to go full go and practice today, and should be fine for Northwestern.
What do you think about Minnesota? And I know you indicated earlier the jury might be out a bit for a while longer with Brewster, but I think they're very athletic. They hit hard. Their Achilles, like a lot of young teams, is maybe penalties and turnovers. But I was impressed by them against Cal.
Yeah, no, they did. They really had a nice overall effort against Cal. It's a lot like Illinois. A guy comes in and really improves the recruiting. There's a lot of enthusiasm about the program. They have a new stadium. Illinois had a big renovation, so there's been some more buzz around their team. I think on defense, they're definitely better than they've been the last couple of years. Last year they kind of covered themselves with turnovers. They generated a lot of turnovers, but they weren't really a good defense overall. The year before, they set school records for just how bad they were. I think defensively, with Cosgrove coming in as coordinator, has really improved. On offense, obviously, Decker, he's got to be one of the toughest players in the country. That hit he took in the end zone from the Cal guy.
Right.
He gets stitches in his chin. He's back on the next play and throws a pass. I mean, I think he's one of the more underappreciated players for sure in the country. Their problem is they've gone to this new offense, which is a pro-style set. They have this new model, pound the rock, and guys, they can't run the football. They're last in the Big Ten in rushing. They're, I think, 109th nationally. So if you can't run the ball, you're just not going to win a lot of games. And that's basically what happened last week, is that Decker is the entire offense. They haven't found anyone else to emerge as a weapon. And when you can't run the ball, I don't care how good a receiver is, he's going to get cover, double team, triple team, whatever, just to try to take him away. So they have some talent on the offense, but they have to find some more options besides Decker.
Yeah, I think the Brewster flipped the keys to the Ferrari to a 32-year-old first-time offensive coordinator, and we shall see.
Adam, we know we got just a few more minutes left with you. I want to ask you now about your alma mater, disappointing game at Syracuse. Is this going to be a transition year for Northwestern, or will they, find 7 or 8 wins?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell. Their schedule is also pretty favorable. They don't play Ohio State, the one team that's given them a ton of problems over the years. In addition to Michigan, they missed both of those teams this year. So they might be able to squeak out 7 or 8 wins. On defense so far, it hasn't looked good. I mean, Corey Wooten, it just doesn't look like the same player he was before his ACL tear in the bowl game. This game last weekend, I mean, giving up, 37 points and all those yards to Greg Paulus, the guy who was playing basketball last year.
Right. Right.
And they really missed a couple of defensive starters. Once they can get their full defense healthy, if it's still bad, then they'll be in trouble. They got to get a couple guys back from injury. And if they still struggle, then it could be a long year for them. But I think on offense they'll be okay.
I've had season tickets for about 15 years on the 45-yard line for Northwestern, and the group around me always wants to know little inside tidbits about the team. I thought Wooten would go in the first couple rounds, but based on your assessment and what we've seen so far, it doesn't look like he's come back from the injury.
Yeah, he looked a little bit better last week, but he's still just not getting that burst off the line. I talked to him last week about it, and you know, he said it's getting closer, but he's not fully there in terms of just being comfortable with the knee and everything. But you know, he's a guy that can still affect the game even when he's not sacking guys because he's just so big. You know, he can knock down passes and change the quarterback's vision and things like that. So he'll be a factor eventually, but they certainly need to be more fundamentally sound on defense than they kind of showed in the losses.
I wouldn't read too much into the Syracuse loss. It was a road game. It was a big game for Syracuse. And what were the five starters out for Northwestern?
Yeah, I mean, really, the guy they really missed was McManus, the cornerback, who's probably one of the better cornerbacks in the league, you know. And then the Syracuse receiver goes nuts. If he's in that game, I really think Northwestern wins. I think his loss really, really changed their how they went defensively. They put in some guys at cornerback who I've never really heard of, and obviously they paid the price for that.
Is he going to be back this week?
I don't know. Pat Fitzgerald's been very evasive when it comes to injuries. I was told he was probable. I saw him practice last week, and then he doesn't show up at the game. So, I don't know what's going to happen. I would imagine that he won't be out too much longer, but they certainly need him back because they're facing another great receiver in Decker.
Right. I was going to say, and I'm picking an upset because I think Minnesota's going to watch that Syracuse tape and go right after the secondary.
Yeah, it's a different type of, you know, I would agree there's definitely an opportunity there for Minnesota. The only difference is Decker isn't really the big play guy. He's more of a possession type, so they might just beat him to death with the 8-yard to 12-yard routes. And, you know, Weber doesn't have as much mobility or athleticism as Paulus, but certainly there's opportunities to attack that secondary. And if Minnesota can create some sort of a run game, I think they're going to be a pretty good team.
So I'm a student of architecture, Adam, and as you've been to every stadium in the Big Ten, and I'm sure because you just were at the Minnesota Stadium, give me your top or your favorite picks in terms of architecture of Big Ten stadiums.
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, Minnesota did a great job, guys. When you get a chance to go up there and check it out, I think they really did a great job of figuring out what kind of fit their school and didn't go crazy and build like an 80,000 seat stadium. It's 50,000 seat. It works perfectly. It's beautifully architecturally. I think, you know, Ohio State from the outside is obviously a great stadium to be in. I really enjoy Kinnick Stadium up in Iowa just because of the great sight lines. It seems like the fans are right on top of the field. And I've always had a soft spot for Camp Randall. I've always really, really liked going to games there.
Although it's an Erector set from the outside.
Yeah, and you know, same thing with Penn State. I mean, that thing is awful.
And Michigan. Michigan's awful from the outside, too. I really, you know, I'm a little bit partial.
It's going to look a lot better after the renovation.
Yeah, I'm a little partial, but I think the architecture at Illinois is magnificent.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, in terms of renovations, I was really, really impressed with what Illinois did. I mean, you know, just selfishly from a press box perspective, it's night and day to what they used to have. And overall, they did a great job of kind of incorporating the old relic and the new stuff.
And what are the worst stadiums in the Big Ten?
You know, I think Indiana certainly leaves a lot to be desired. The Metrodome was certainly up there among the worst when I went up there. I've never been a huge fan of Ross-Ade Stadium. There's not a whole lot that stands out. And Northwestern's not a great facility, although at night, I think sometimes it's a fun place to be at night. It's when it actually gets filled up.
I mean, I think the west side of Ryan Field is very nice. The east side is just a glorified high school stadium.
Exactly.
Adam, in the waning minutes here, I think at the beginning you said Penn State 1, Ohio State 2. We'll give you a chance to clarify that and give us your top five as the conference starts Saturday, how it's going to end up.
Yeah, I had Penn State 1 is my recent power rankings. Penn State 1, Ohio State 2, Michigan's 3, Iowa 4, and Wisconsin 5. And a lot of that's just based on what I've seen so far. And, you know, I think I wouldn't be surprised at the end if it's, you know, some combination of Penn State and Ohio State, and then maybe Iowa is the third team, although Iowa has a brutal road schedule, having to go to Penn State, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Michigan State. And, you know, maybe a team like Illinois or Michigan State or maybe Minnesota makes a run and is in that kind of 4-5 mix. But I don't anyone's really going to be cracking the top two unless Iowa gets really hot and starts winning some of these road games.
Yeah, and I think that Iowa has the capability of really surprising some teams on the road. I really believe that Kirk Ferentz is the best coach in the Big Ten. I'm not saying he's the best recruiter, but he is the best coach in the Big Ten.
Yeah, you know, everyone kind of rags on him for the salary. And I mean, listen, coaches' salaries are getting out of hand, but my response to that is Iowa has kept a guy in Iowa for this long when there's really very little recruiting to do there. You know, they really have to go outside of their area to get quality recruits, whether it's the Northeast or wherever, to bring in some good players. So I think he's done a heck of a job overall. I think they've kind of survived that lull in the middle part of the decade, and they seem like they're on the right track. And it always helps when you have great fundamentals and great line play, and they've always had great line play on both sides of the ball.
Adam, thanks for taking some time to join us. We'll definitely try to get you back later in the year. Mr. G's a big fan following you, and he said we got to get you on, and it's been a lot of fun. You've given us a lot of insight, and we'll look forward to catching up with you down the road during the middle of the season.
Adam, did you have a professor by the name of Mindy Trosberg at NU?
Oh, Mindy Trossman, yeah.
Trossman.
I didn't have her, but I knew who she was.
Yeah, I serve on a board with her. She's a nice lady.
She is. Thanks, guys.
Talk to you. Thanks, Adam. That was Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com joining Boz and Mr. G talking Illini talk in Big Ten preview prior to this weekend's opening games. You can talk Big Ten with us at 888-463-6748 or give us a call at talkingillini@yahoo.com. And in a few minutes, we'll be joined by our buddy Kurt Kittner. Hopefully he'll have some insight on what's been going on during the bye week down at Champaign.
Before our break, I just want to give a big shout out to our two major sponsors, Joe Rizza Cars, joerizzacars.com, and of course the Chicago Athletic Clubs, Lakeview Athletic Club, Lincoln Park Athletic Club, Evanston Athletic Club, and the West Loop Athletic Club.
You know, it's interesting. I would agree with you on Ferentz. You know, I was thinking the last day or so about the conference and the coaches, and there, I mean, you know, there's a lot of good coaches in this conference that I think, you know, we wouldn't mind having if we didn't have ours, that's for sure. And I think you're right also about the Michigan situation. My sources have told me also that they're still not totally happy with
it. It has as much to do with the off-the-field stuff as the on-the-field stuff.
Right, right. And just the way the gentleman has assimilated into Ann Arbor, they haven't been comfortable with that. But, you know, nothing that a few more wins wouldn't cure. But, again, looking at their schedule, they're gonna get their due. They're going to lose a few games because all they've done is played cupcakes at home so far, although Notre Dame isn't quite a cupcake, but we don't know how good they really are either. They should have lost to Michigan State also. Dave, do we need to – you want to take a break? Let's take a break. We'll be back, Boz and Mr. G, talking Illini, talking Big Ten openers in a couple more minutes.
Never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. Now, that's not exactly the saying, but it seems like people would rather have a root canal than do something about their finances. That's what AXA Advisors is all about, working with you one-on-one so you'll have a financial plan for the things you want tomorrow. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 224-554-8053. That's 224-554-8053. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair, a proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
You'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzoCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzoCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
Make us a favorite button on your browser.
It's sending a transmission of some kind.
TalkZone.com, your first choice for talk on the Internet.
And here is McGee. He's going to keep it on the option pitch. He's in, untouched. Touchdown, Eddie McGee. Touchdown, Illinois.
You're Talking Illini on TalkZone. Now back to Boz and Mr. G.
We're back Talking Illini, Boz and Mr. G, produced by TalkZone.com. You can find us at TalkingIllini.com. Mr. G, we've got an email. Our friend Carm emailed us during the week some follow-up reaction from some of the topics we talked about last week. I want to acknowledge Carm and go over these a few minutes before the top of the hour when we get back into more Big Ten talk with Kurt. But Carm first starts out by saying, "Hey, guys, love listening to the show. Glad to have you guys back from your summer vacation." And then he goes on, has a few points, but many points. It was almost a two-page essay. We talked about last week how from the Missouri game there were going to be changes at receiver, and then for some reason they didn't quite happen like as advertised. And Carm commented about that. He also commented on my observation that we like Pollard in the Missouri game returning kicks, and he didn't see any time during the ISU game. Carm kind of agrees with us. He likes Pollard and Green back there as kick returners, and maybe Faison and Ben as well, but doesn't see any need anymore for Jenkins back there, that Pollard and Green might be able to do as well or better than Jenkins. And basically Carm says that if you look at last year's stats, I might have mentioned that Ben needs to get the ball 6-7 times a game or so, and that's basically what he averaged last year. I don't know if he needs to get it more, because last year he got it that much and we didn't win, but my feeling simply is, and I wrote back to him, I said, he asked if the next three games, if we're going to be 0-3, 1-2, 2-1. And my response was, I think we could be 2-1 with a loss to Penn State. We can also be 0-3 if we don't get it together quickly. I think we need to go back to the mentality we had 3 years ago, 2 and 3 years ago, when we led the conference in rushing. And then since I've written to Carm, I have a rethink. I think we'll be 2-1, but I think we're going to, like I said earlier, lose a tightly fought, hard fought, close game Saturday, but play well enough to get our mojo back and upset Penn State the following Saturday, which will springboard us to a successful conference season, and we'll go over the conference schedule and the predictions later on towards the end in the last half hour at 5:30. And finally, Carm signs off by saying, he enjoys the show, looks forward to it. Every week you guys have great guests, ask great questions that most people would never be able to get the answers to. You're going to make the message board Gossip Hounds obsolete. I'm not sure about that. We had a little conversation about the message boards also. That's why he threw that in there. We look at ourselves as a compliment to them. You know, some people would rather write than talk. And, we like to talk. And if you like to talk, give us a call at 888-463-6748. And, especially, we've got a few emails already for Kurt Kittner. If you want to email us, it's at talkingalini@yahoo.com. One thing is interesting. I want to get your observation, Mr. G. Again, I tried to watch a lot of games over the weekend. Doesn't seem to be a lot of defense out there. A lot of scoring, and it's seemingly hard for defenses to stop some people. Texas Tech, the Boise-Fresno game, Georgia-Arkansas, they just seemingly kind of go up and down the field. So, and we kind of thought that, you know, our team would be like that too. We need to get the offense together to score some points because I think we expect that a little more out of the offense than the defense at this point, wouldn't you think?
Well, I thought that the offense would carry this team, and I thought the defense would be okay, and I really expected more out of our linebackers and our secondary than we've received so far. And I'm not pressing the panic button because of Martez Wilson. I've said to you from the start that I thought he was a duck out of water at middle linebacker and really would hurt us more than he helped us at that position. So Frierson is going to come in, do a very adequate job, and I don't think that we're going to be too worse for the wear for having lost Wilson. And just the depth concerns me, but not the fact that Frierson is going to be playing middle linebacker. Our secondary still is just a Chinese fire drill. There are guys running every which way. There's no discipline in the patterns. We've got to get up and press cover, though. You know, I look at all these pro teams. Every one of these teams, they're locked on man-to-man on the corners. They've got their linebackers in the slots to take away the bubble screens. They're blitzing guys from different angles. They're dropping linemen in the coverage. We have this vanilla coverage. We may blitz, but the blitzes are very predictable. And the vanilla coverage, and when we do blitz, typically we're playing off of these guys. When you're going to blitz, that's the time you want to press the coverage.
Absolutely. And maybe they'll show us something different Saturday. I don't know, because they really haven't shown us, you know, much different over the years. And it's just hard for me to, you know, fathom that we just have basically one system, excuse me, and that's that, you know, vanilla umbrella zone where they don't want anybody going over the top, but will gladly, you know, give guys other teams short routes. But and there, I guess they're thinking, well, the longer they have the ball, the odds are maybe they'll make a mistake. But odds are also that we miss a tackle or two and a 10-yard gain, you know, turns into a 60-yard gain.
Death by a thousand cuts. I'd rather take some chances, create some turnovers. You win games in the Big Ten by creating turnovers. The days of Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler and the bend but don't break defenses and the plodding along are long gone. We need to create mistakes by the other team. That's how you win Big Ten football games.
Carm also asked in his email if we're going to be able to get any, Coach Zook on or any of the players, or Coach Weber, et cetera. Unfortunately, you know, during the time we're on now, 4 to 6 Central Time, that, you know, the team is practicing. So it's going to be almost impossible to get anybody from the football program on unless somehow we do some sort of tape interview during the week. But we have been promised from the basketball office, and I'll send a make a call during the week to reconfirm and get a specific date down. That prior to the October 15th start of practice, Coach Weber will come on with us and we'll get to talk to him about the program and the season and the new kids that are there practicing and all the good things happening with the basketball program. And then hopefully also during the season, we'll get a few kids to come on. I looked at the schedule and actually there's several Tuesday night games that, we will more or less be a pregame show for. And I don't know if we'll be able to get, you know, maybe Jarrence or Jay Price or someone like that on those days. But we'll have a lot in store for you fans coming up in weeks to come. This is Boz and Mr. G Talking Illini. You could find us at TalkingIllini.com. Going into Saturday at Ohio State, Mr. G, how many times should what should be the run-pass ratio for our offense?
Well, I think the goal is 50-50. Or actually, maybe even a little higher on the run side than 50-50. The goal is probably closer to 60-40 with a little tilt to the run side. But you know what? I don't think that you necessarily have to go in there and say, this is what we want to do. I think you look at what the game gives you, what the defense gives you, and you adapt. And that's something that we haven't necessarily done a great job of.
And what have you seen from Ohio State that you know you think will be able to exploit or help us score some points?
I think that they're vulnerable in the secondary, and I think you know the other thing about Ohio State is they're not very big on their defensive line either. We should be able to run at them inside the tackles, and I think we should be able to pass the ball. If you run wide on Ohio State, I think that's where their team speed really gets to you. Now we're going to be back in a moment with Kurt Kittner. You can call Kurt or call us at 888-463-6748 or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. We'll be back with Kurt Kittner.
Chicago Athletic Club is the number one athletic club chain in Chicagoland, according to the Chicago Tribune. For membership info, visit their Lincoln Park, Lakeview, Evanston, or West Loop locations, or call Pat Cunningham at 773-529-2024. Tell him Boz and Mr. G sent you, and receive 1 month absolutely free. That's 773-529-2024. Chicago Athletic Clubs, another great Illini sports experience.
You find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzoCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzoCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com.